studios on the campus of the University of Common Sense in the Big Easy, the professor of thinkology and a man dedicated to truth and common sense. America, class is in session right here, right now, with your host, Jim Brown.
Hey, welcome to you listeners all over the country and all over the world. About 15% of our listeners come from outside the United States, so we're sure glad you're joining us on the Common Sense Show here today. Back home at my flagship station, WJBO, 1150 AM in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I want to thank the folks up in New York City. We broadcast live in New York City the past 2 weeks. Have a big listening audience on WVNJ that covers most of the state of New Jersey as well as New York City. And we are sure pleased with the hospitality they showed us up there. But it's always good to get back home, and I'm glad to do so. Lots of things to talk about today. There is so many things. I'm going to go over your emails and review a lot of issues that I think are very important to our country and to you individually. And by the way, if you want to email me or get up to date on what I'm going to talk about, you can go to our website at www.jimbrownusa.com. Find a full list of topics. Have some fun. See my weekly column. We'll talk about the column here in the next hour and just get updated on what's happening that I think is of interest, and hopefully you will too. Horse meat is back in the news. Big time, by the way. There's been supposedly a scandal over in Britain where they found that about 1% of all the meat products, things that are sold frozen, things that are sold like spaghetti, bolognese and shepherd's pie, lasagna, because it contained a little horse meat, 1% horse meat. And it's raised the ire of a number of people. How dare they serve us horse meat? 1% of our food is horse meat? Why, that's just a big, big scandal. I never understood that. Now, you got to realize I live down in the state that eats about anything down here. We eat squirrel and a raccoon and you name it. We eat it down here in Louisiana, throw it in the gumbo. Even in New Orleans, you'll find a lot of exotic foods down here. There's been a big push, by the way, by our United States senators, several senators. I think Marco Rubio over in Florida, for your Florida listeners. There's a Connecticut senator, Louisiana Senator Mary Landrieu has made this her cause célèbre. Now, we've got a massive economic problem, not just nationally, but worldwide. We've got problems in the Middle East that seem to be growing leaps and bounds. There are so many issues that affect middle-class Americans, all Americans, just keeping some semblance of a quality of life as wages go down. Yet the focus seems to be on horse meat. I have a hard time understanding that, but that apparently is what a number of these senators think about. What they want to do is ban the sale of all horse meat for consumption or exportation. You can't even export it. Now, you may not know this, but horse meat is a pretty popular dish, particularly in Europe. A lot of horse meat is sold in Europe. In Sweden, horse meat is so popular, it outsells lamb and mutton over that way. You can find horse meat, carne de cavallo, I think they call it, in most butcher shops throughout Italy. You can travel to every European country to find horse meat, which is both quite popular and apparently in demand. In France, and of course France is a motherlode of food delicacies, they even have a horse meat butchers organization called Fédération de Boucherie Hippolyte Grieg. My French is okay. It's estimated that some 700,000 tons of horse meat is consumed annually worldwide. And, you know, horse meat, if you've eaten it, my friends eat it regularly, and I have some. They say it's leaner, slightly sweeter in taste than regular beef, with a flavor somewhat between that of beef and venison. Good horse meat is tender, kind of be a little tougher than maybe a tenderloin, something along that way. But, again, it's very popular. Now, you make the argument, well, gosh, how we shouldn't be eating horses, and I never understood that distinction. Apparently a lot of problem, including all those senators, have no problem eating Porky Pig, Donald Duck, Bugs Bunny, Bambi, the Little Red Hen. But when it comes to eating Trigger or Mr. Ed, now that's a whole different thing there. We can't kind of get into all that, right? I don't see the difference. By the way, I was looking over around the rest of the country. Like I say, we've eaten for years down here where I live any number of items that you can buy or you can catch. Raccoon, as I mentioned, Nutria stew, popular restaurant. Of course, alligator. People laugh about alligator, but I'm looking at one of our local papers, and about half the page talks about Louisiana alligator Creole stew. So you can get very creative with a whole list of dishes that you can get. Here's a, I was watching the Travel Channel, I think a couple of weeks ago, and they were talking about the fact that more Americans are becoming much more adventurous in their food habits. And they've got a show, I think, on the Travel Channel called Bizarre Foods America. It's a once-a-week show there, and they talk about what people would eat. And they did a poll, and they said, well, one-third of the respondents would serve muskrat chili, one-fifth would put a pig ear sandwich on the menu, 17% of hosts thought that possum fajitas sound good for the game, and 6% would serve lamb brains. I don't know about lamb brains. I don't know if I'd take that in. Of course, haggis in England is very, very popular, the intestines of a sheep. Smoked raccoon has a lot of popularity. And so, any event, you can get a lot of exotic foods that you can try. And I'm not buying off on the fact that horse meat is something that we shouldn't try. That, maybe you don't like it. Maybe that's not your cup of tea or your cup of meat. But whatever, that should be your choice. I'll tell you a story. I was a couple of months ago, it's been about a year ago, I guess. I was giving a speech over in a little rural area of South Louisiana. I'd given the speech, was driving back home, stopped to get a cold drink. It was a hot day, summer, hot day in the summer. Walked up on the porch, and here's a fella cooking up in a big pot. And just made conversation with him. I said, what you cooking up there? And he says, well, I've got me a gumbo. I said, what kind of gumbo you cooking? He says, I'm cooking me an owl gumbo. Well, I inquired just how an owl gumbo tastes, and he smiled at me, and he said, about like a hawk gumbo. About like a hawk gumbo. Oh, I got it. I got it now, like a hawk, right? Point I'm making is that you can take about anything along that line, cook it up in a gumbo or a stew, as long as not a species is about to be wiped out. That should be your freedom of choice. What you eat, what you not eat should be your freedom of choice. So Senator Landrieu from Louisiana, Senator Rubio from Florida, you want to be president, get away from the horse meat. It's not your issue. You're not going to get elected president of the United States on trying to ban horse meat. It ain't that big a deal. Ought to be someone's individual choice as to what they eat, when they eat, and how they eat it. And if you can deal with Porky Pig, you can certainly deal with Mr. Ed. So I share that with you about the horse meat activities going on throughout this state. I've got a cookbook out. I wrote a cookbook called Jim Brown's World Famous Squirrel Stew and Other Country Recipes. And I took all this wild game that we eat and cook down here and put it in a cookbook, and you can order it on my website at www.jimbrownusa.com. I got a little press called the Lisbon Press, and we sell a lot of cookbooks. I've sold 25,000 cookbooks. All the money goes to charity. And if you want to be an expert in terms of game recipes, you'll find it in there. You'll find we had a former governor down here named John McKiffin, and he had what was his favorite recipe? He'd take a can of Hungry Jack biscuits, and he'd take a can of chicken stew and put the two together and cook them up. And that was his chicken stew he'd make. That was his favorite recipe. You know, whatever turns you on, I guess. Hey, we're going to come back and talk about bailouts, the massive amount of money the federal government has spent on bailing out banks. And we're determining that some banks are just way too big to fail. And even though they're involved in criminal activity, they're too big to jail. Stay tuned with me. My website's www.jimbrownusa.com. The Common Sense Show. Freshen up your coffee, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
True or false? Some contractors do business illegally without even knowing it.
It's true. I'm Stephen Klein, chairman of NAPAC, the National Association of Professionally Accredited Contractors. We help contractors operate their businesses properly to avoid government or private fines and lawsuits.
So someone may think their contract is legal, but it may not be?
That's right. The laws constantly change and it's hard to keep up with. NAPAC constantly monitors the laws state by state. We have the documents contractors need to operate safe and sound.
Why not just go to a lawyer?
You could, but most don't understand how home improvement really works. At NAPAC, we have the forms, guides, and agreements contractors need, approved by the nation's top remodeling law firm.
And now NAPAC will review any home improvement contract for basic compliance for free?
Absolutely free, but for a limited time only.
Scan both sides of your contract and email it to info@napac.net. info@napac.net. For a free confidential contract review, info@napac.net.
Hi, this is Peter Kronschnabel from Midas Resources. As you know, federal government spending is at an all-time high, and inflation will be a direct result of the spending policy. European government and central bank spending policies have put the European Union on the brink of collapse. What are you doing right now to protect yourself financially? Are your assets working for you or against you? One thing is certain. Having physical possession of gold and silver will guarantee that no matter what happens to our economy or the dollar, your investment will never be worthless. And it will protect you from that hidden tax, inflation. If you've been thinking about investing in physical possession of precious metals or having an IRA in precious metals, I can help. Call me today, Peter Kronschnabel, at 800-686-2237, extension 108. And I'll take the time to personally put together a portfolio designed to protect what you've worked so hard for. Call 800-686-2237. Extension 108. You've worked hard your whole life, and I want to work hard for you. Call Peter at 800-686-2237, extension 108.
Is there a less expensive way to detoxify your body?
Yes. Micro plant powder from hempusa.org frees your body of toxins from vaccinations, pharmaceutical residues, heavy metals, parasites, and toxic chemicals in your food and water for around $10 a month. Micro plant powder removes virus, fungus, and bacteria while cleaning and purifying the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. It unclogs arteries and softens heart valves. Plus, micro plant powder can be taken with any liquid, any pharmaceutical, at any time. It's truly the easiest and most cost-effective way to clean and detoxify your body for around $10 a month. Microplant powder from hempusa.org. It really works. And for persistent health issues, try our Matrix Bio Powder together with microplant powder for a deeper cellular cleaning. Call 888-910-4367. That's 888-910-4367. And see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you at hempusa.org.
George Washington said, "Government is not reason, it is not eloquence, it is force, like fire. It is a dangerous servant and a fearful master." America's government is no longer the servant of the people and the protector of our liberty, but has become that fearful master. We the people must understand the nature of this government gone awry if we are to be successful in saving our country. America is being deliberately destroyed by a cabal of international gangsters so that she can be forced into subjugation to a one-world government. The God-given, unalienable rights of the Declaration of Independence are in jeopardy. We must not let them be stolen by ambitious and evil men. Utopia Silver Supplements believes it is our God-given right to make our own health care decisions however we deem best. If we can help you with your supplement needs and better health, then help us win this health freedom battle. Visit us today at utopiasilver.com. That's utopiasilver.com. Or call 888-213-4338. Again, 888-213-4338.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of Thinkology, Jim Brown.
We went through all this bailout mania in 2008 when the collapse happened on Wall Street and all these banks and financial institutions were bailed out to the tune of hundreds of billions of dollars. I thought that was behind us. I thought we'd learned some lessons and could move forward, but apparently we can't. The latest scandal, and this is a major scandal in my opinion, involving the banking industry, what's happening on Wall Street. HSBC is a huge financially owned, rather British-owned bank. Huge bank.
And they were given a slap on the wrist here, fined about $1.9 billion. Now, that sounds like a massive amount of money, except that amounts to about 5 weeks of profit for this bank. They were fined 5 weeks of their profit for carrying on what seems to be the largest drug and terrorism money laundering scheme in the history of this country. And I didn't just say they were laundering money for some local drug guys. This is the largest drug and terrorist money laundering scheme in the history of this country. What they were doing was handling money and confecting exchanges and giving massive aid to Russian gangsters, Hezbollah, Iran, North Korea, Al-Qaeda. Look, this is just not your local friendly neighborhood bank. And so you would think there would be a huge criminal investigation coming in with charges. I mean, you know, the small guy on the street gets arrested, and boy, thrown up front page of the paper. These guys get away with whatever they want to do. And I have a hard time figuring it out. This is a massive bank, and it takes us right back to 2008 and the greed we saw on Wall Street. And I looked into it and read what I could about how could you let these bankers not be criminally charged? How could you do? In fact, I didn't ask that. I asked that question, but there was a U.S. Senate hearing last week in Washington. Senator Elizabeth Warren from Massachusetts confronted bank regulators. They were there before her at some hearing. And she asked, could they identify any example of Wall Street bankers being criminally charged and taken to trial? And they looked at each other and says, well, we'll have to get back to you, Senator. Couldn't name one. Couldn't name a single person that was charged within all this debacle. Now we've got HSBC again. Exchanges, they were the front people handling all the money for about every piece of scum you could come up with in the world today. North Korea, Al-Qaeda, Hezbollah, Iran, Russian gangsters. I go on and on and on. And what it looks like, quite frankly, simply put, is the Justice Department decided to go soft. The feds kind of dance around this thing at a press conference. The Justice Department spokesman says, well, you know, if we really slapped him too hard, the whole future of the world economy is at stake. I got a quote here from the spokesman for the Justice Department. He says, had the U.S. authorities decided to press criminal charges, HSBC would almost certainly have lost its banking license in the U.S. The future of this institution would have been under threat. And get this, and the entire banking system would have been destabilized, close quote. That's according to the Justice Department press conference announcing the fine. The whole financial, over one bank is going to put the entire banking system and make it destabilized. So the whole world banking pyramid could collapse. Over one bank? Yeah, right. Do you believe that? I sure don't. I sure don't. And yet this is what we're forced to believe, and these guys just get off with a slap on the wrist. And we've seen this carry on from continually. It's still going on. Insurance giant AIG, what we put about $200 billion of taxpayers' money into that company, and they're still enmeshed in all types of litigation and lawsuits and trying to work out problems that they're being undermined by, prohibited by, or allowed to function without any kind of regulation by either state insurance departments or by the federal government overseeing them. It just doesn't happen. Got a friend of mine named Sherrod Brown. He's the Ohio U.S. Senator. He used to be the Secretary of State of the state of Ohio when I was Secretary of State here in Louisiana. Very competent U.S. Senator. And so he was asked about the collusion of the federal government, primarily the New York Fed, that is taking some action to stop cleaning up the mess. And here's what he said. He said, the New York Fed's behavior in this case underscores that the more we learn about these bailouts, gifts, and advantages that Wall Street gets, the clearer it becomes that one set of rules applies to the largest mega banks and another set of rules to the smaller financial institutions and the rest of the country. They're too big to fail. And what's even worse, they're too big to jail. They just have emerged to the point that they go around and get off scot-free. And, of course, then we see the huge financial contributions that pour into the campaigns of these senators and congressmen when election time rolls around. And they're setting the rules. They're setting up the rules of the road as to how these financial institutions operate. So when we hear that 2008 was an aberration, when it was just a one single collusion of or convergence of a whole lot of factors, the housing bubble, so many things that happened, we've learned our lessons, right? We haven't learned any lessons. We're right back to square one and doing it all again, right on the verge of another big bailout. These again, they're too big to fail, right? What was that old song back in the Great Depression? Remember that old song, Once I Built a Railroad, I Made It Run, Made It Race Against Time. Once I Built a Railroad, Now It's Done. Brother, can you spare a dime? Well, we can revitalize or revise those words, I think, based on what's happening and what's allowed to be happening by the Justice Department and federal and state regulators. Now the song can go something like, once I built, let's see, how can we change the letter? Let's you and I think about that. Once I worked on Wall Street, it was such fun. Sold these credit default swaps by the million. Once I worked on Wall Street, now it's done. Brother, can you spare a billion? Not a million, a billion. Billions and billions of dollars going out, of dollars going out, because these companies are too big to fail. Are you too big to fail? Am I too? No, I'm not too big to fail. Hey, I've got some, I made some bad deals. We've all made some bad deals. I bought a couple of duplexes as an investment to try to work it out, and it fell through. The people took bankruptcy, and I lost a lot of money. Nobody bailed me out. Did they bail you out? None of us get bailed out except those who are too big to fail, those who are too big to jail. Going to come back and talk to a local banker or a regional banker about this problem and see if he has some solutions to deal with the greed and corruption on Wall Street. Preston Kennedy will join me, president of a bank here in Louisiana, right after we take a break. I'm going to freshen up my coffee, kind of calm down a little bit. We'll come right back and talk some more on the Common Sense Show.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
Who wants to be disease-free, full of energy, and vibrant health? Two reasons you may feel constantly tired and run down could be that your body's acid level is high and your pH level is low. How does acid enter your body? A cup of coffee, a sandwich, tap water, stress, and cell phones. Plus, your own body produces acid on a regular basis. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops alkalize the water you drink and raise your pH level. They promote more oxygen in your system, higher energy potential, and many other documented health benefits. And studies show viruses, bacteria, and toxins cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops is the least expensive and the best pH level product you can buy. Order AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops for just $29.95 at AlkaVision.com, spelled AlkaVision.com, or call 800-518-7615. That's 800-518-7615. Alkalize your body, supercharge your health with pH Drops from AlkaVision.com.
Radio advertising on GCN, the Genesis Communications Network, is simple, affordable, and reaches millions. How do we do it? Let's break it down. First, the simple part. You tell us about your business. Then our expert radio copywriters write your copy. We hire professional voice talent.
Hello there. I'm a professional announcer.
And then produce your ad with just the right music and feel. Voila! Simple. How affordable? 60-second ads on GCN are the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And that brings us to reach. Millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 700 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. That's it. A one-stop shop. Creative radio ads. Very affordable rates. Millions of potential customers and customer service that can't be beat. See our current list of satisfied advertisers. advertisers at GCNlive.com. Then shoot us an email, advertise@GCNlive.com.
Is this the year you finally get serious about your family's drinking water? If so, keep listening for a special offer from Big Berkey Water Filters. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water is fluoridated? Berkey Water Filters distinguish themselves from many other filtration systems with the capability to significantly reduce dangerous chlorine, fluoride, arsenic, and disinfection byproducts from municipal water via the Black Berkey and PF line of filters. Then there's affordability. At only 1.7 cents per gallon, Berkey Water Filters purify treated and untreated water, even stagnant pond water. Stop and think how much money you could save by simply reducing buying bottled water and using water filtered by your Berkey water filter. No need to be constantly replacing expensive filters with a Berkey. A single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. Choose the best size Berkey for your needs at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And right now, all GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Just call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Or visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Free shipping on every order over $50. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Positive results from satisfied customers of Heart and Body Extract continue to pour into our website, hbextract.com.
This is Al from New Jersey. One day I saw your ad for Heart and Body Extract, and it mentioned that it would help me with angina, so I decided to order. I figure I had nothing to lose.
Heart and Body Extract supplies your body with everything it needs to balance itself and maintain optimal heart and circulatory health with no negative side effects.
I took the formula 3 times a day as directed, and I kid you not, within 4 days, my angina pain was completely gone.
Order HB Extract by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
I could not believe it actually stopped the pain. Heart and Body Extract actually works. This is just an amazing product. Even the numbness in my hands is completely gone.
Heart and Body Extract, for a long and healthy life.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of Thinkology, Jim Brown.
We were talking that last segment about banks that are having some problems because they're too big to fail. They get so big that they almost intimidate federal regulators, the federal government. The most recent example we talked about earlier was HSBC, this giant British bank, paid a $1.9 billion fine. Sounds like a lot, but that's about 5 weeks of their profit, a slap on the wrist for some really egregious behavior involving criminal activity, but they were deemed as to be too big to fail. Let's talk about the greed within the banking system, and are you too big, too little? Preston Kennedy is a local banker. He's the president of a smaller bank in the state of Louisiana, a town called Zachary, Louisiana, right out of Baton Rouge. And a reason I asked Preston to join us was he wrote a letter to the editor expressing his concern about the greed and corruption that is engulfing the financial system. Preston Kennedy, glad you joined us today on the Common Sense Show.
Hey, thank you, Jim. Glad to be here.
Give us your view as a smaller banker. We hear so much about too big to fail, too big to jail, and we see that within Wall Street, we bailed out so many of these institutions in 2008, 2009. Little banks like you weren't offered a big bailout, and many of these banks were saying, take this money and loan it out. They didn't do so. It seems like there's double standards and so much uncertainty in the financial services today that make a lot of us average folks out there very uncomfortable and don't have a lot of confidence in the system. What's your take on that?
Well, we've evolved into something that's become a two-tiered system of justice. Back in 2008, when the crisis hit, these banks that were deemed to be responsible for it, got a lot of criticism, and rightly so. Their boards and management didn't seem to pay any price for it. A lot of the smaller banks, thankfully not in Louisiana, but throughout the country, whenever they would get into trouble, they got a knock on the door on a Friday and they're put out of business. And their boards and managements were ruined financially, and their reputations in their towns ruined. And they paid the ultimate price, which is the system that we have, that if you if you don't succeed, you go out of business. That we understand that, and the community banks are, you know, live in the free market system, and we understand the risks that entails. But there seems to be insulation from that risk at the highest levels because of the too big to fail and now too big to jail status that these large financial institutions enjoy. And it corrupts our system in insulating the biggest players from their own actions. And what happens as a result, and we had this in the Dodd-Frank legislation, and before that, numerous waves of regulation that are designed to stop these big players from doing these things that harm the system. So rounds of legislation are passed, and community institutions do their best to adhere to those laws, and it's just mounting a regulatory burden, which is making it harder for community institutions to stay in business. And the bigger players seem to just ignore it and go on, pay their fine, figure it's a cost of doing business. And, you know, like you said, in the case of HSBC, you know, $1.9 billion, everybody slaps each other on the back and says, man, we really stuck it to them. But and in your lead in there, you said that they're almost intimidated by the big banks. They are intimidated. They're most definitely intimidated. Lanny Brewer said that in the Frontline piece, that they were worried about what would happen to the system if one of these large players had indictments or people were hauled off to jail. And so they elected to go the route where they fined the corporation. No individual paid any price. They just corporate fine that was paid, and the idea that in the United States that anybody can avoid justice because they've been allowed to grow too big, it to me is just, quite frankly, it sounds un-American.
Well, let me ask you about the too big to fail. Is there any institution that really is too big to fail? I mean, we have a system, as you said, in place. There's bankruptcy that where you can not even go out of business. You can kind of freeze your situation and continue to do business. There's different levels of bankruptcy. You've got a safety net through the FDIC for local subscribers or people. If I put my money in the bank up to a certain amount, I've gotten protections. So there's some protections built in, it would seem like. So why Preston, is anybody too big to fail with those checks and balances in place?
Well, the reason that's given and the reason that Lanny Brewer with the Department of Justice said they were afraid that it would be a follow-on effect where the whole system would be at risk because of the interconnectedness at the upper levels of the not only the banks but the non-banks, which we saw with AIG, that they've gotten to be so big and so interconnected that if they were to collapse, that it would be systemic and our whole system would fail. So it seems as if something is that big and that interconnected, that the solution would seem to be simple, to cut them down to size where they're not too big to fail.
Yeah, as I remember correctly, in reading, like in Germany, for example, they have more a regional bank concept to where you're over, maybe you're not over the whole country, but maybe you're over what we would consider five or six states, and that's about as big as they get. And there's also requirements that a certain percentage of their loans be made to local businesses within their market, and you get these huge banks that scoop up deposits wherever they can and loan them all over the world, and it seems. And is that something we should look at, something along that line, where you don't have 8 or 10 massively sized banks that are operating worldwide, or if they do so, put them in a different category and hold them to a completely different standard. But these giant banks just seem to dominate to such a degree that, as you say, they can intimidate. Is that government? Now, I guess then some people would say, well, that's the government getting involved too much. So you're kind of damned if you do and damned if you don't in that approach. What do you think about a more regional approach for banking?
Well, I have the – my basic philosophy is that government too much government control in anything is bad. And I think that's one of the problems with the too big to fail system, as it is. The government has become involved in the sense that regulators come, individuals come to become regulators after they've done a stint in private industry or private financial institutions, the largest ones, come to government jobs, then go back to the, to Wall Street, and it's this revolving door that, that causes, this, this crony capitalism where the officers of the bank are then regulators, then they go back to being officers, so, they want to protect their career path, so they tend to, make things go away when bad things happen and create situations where good things can happen in this crony capitalism. So I guess basically my thought would be that the government needs to be out of that, not directing who can do what kind of business, but it comes back to the basic concept, which is capitalism is fine, crony capitalism is not. So if a segment or, you know, a single business is allowed to do whatever they want to and not fail, then, of course, you know, the upside is all for private gain. The downside goes to the taxpayer.
Very much so.
So it's a corruption of our system.
Press Kennedy, I'm out of time. Press, I'm out of time. We've got to go take a mandatory break. I appreciate your insight. Preston Kennedy is president of the Bank of Zachary down here in my home state of Louisiana. Gave a good perspective on it. They're too big to fail. You and I are not. Take a break right here on the Common Sense Show. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
Are you a homeowner? Is your basement or crawl space damp and musty? Is your indoor air stagnant and stale? Listen up. This is the occasion contractor, Michael King. I've been telling you for a while now, hey, I got the solution. That's right, Easy Breeze Ventilation. Easy Breeze dramatically improves your indoor air by replacing contaminated air with fresh air. Easy Breeze also removes damaging moisture from your home, basement, or crawl space, reducing the chance for toxic mold to grow. Easy Breeze is the affordable way to protect your home and your health. You see, the best part, it only costs us pennies a day to operate. Unlike a costly dehumidifier, maintenance-free, and a 10-year warranty, this is a no-brainer. Start protecting your home and your health right now. Call the professionals at Easy Breathe, easybreathe.com, 1-866-822-7328. That's 866-822-7328. Easybreathe.com. Let Easy Breathe exhale so you can inhale.
Your freedoms are on the line. The Second Amendment is in danger. How soon before your freedoms are taken away? What can you not live without? What is your greatest dependency? Is it your guns? Is it your home? No, it's food. It all boils down to the food supply. Tyrannical governments control people by controlling their food supply. Don't be dependent. Be self-sufficient. Don't wait for the government to feed you. Feed yourself. I can warn you, but I can't feed you. Do like Alex has done and get a supply of food from eFoods Direct. It's the best long-term storable food on the planet. Get the popular Mega Patriot Pack free. A 24-day supply of food plus stove, cook pot, and fuel. Call 800-250-1857 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex and get up to 20 Mega Patriot Packs free with purchase. Build your food supply. Be in control. Be self-sufficient and be a patriot. Call 800-250-1857 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex and get your free Patriot Pack today.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy 3 Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. GCN.com includes detailed planting and seed saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
To have a fighting chance against cold and flu bugs, get the world's best garlic extract, Allicin Plus C. Fight viruses, bacteria, and fungi with Allicin Plus C. Scientifically proven in double-blind studies using low doses to greatly reduce the number, severity, and duration of common colds. Allicin Plus C contains 300 milligrams of stabilized allicin, the active ingredient in crushed garlic. Studies show Allicin Plus C is effective against MRSA, bacterial, fungal, and viral infections. One tablet of Allicin Plus C has the equivalent of 40 cloves of garlic. Allicin Plus C supports your body's resistance to all types of conditions and can help lower high blood pressure and high cholesterol. So boost your body's resistance to infection with nature's best garlic extract, Allicin Plus C. To order, call 855-ALLICIN. That's 855-255-4246. Or go to AllicinPlus.com, spelled AllicinPlus.com. Get Allicin Plus C from Affinity Health Products.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Welcome back to Jim Brown's Common Sense. Now, here's your host and professor of Thinkology, Jim Brown.
Well, our Justice Department is now filing a lawsuit against cyclist Lance Armstrong on behalf of the U.S. Postal Service. This is a bizarre story. Follow me on this one. This is one I'm just stunned by. The Postal Service went ahead and paid Lance Armstrong, the cyclist who recently has admitted doping, they paid him $30 million of your money and my money, taxpayers' money, $30 million so that when he rides around the mountains in France, he's got on the front of his jersey a little sign that says U.S. Postal Service. The Postal Service is broke. It's busted. It can't deliver the mail on time, and it can't pay its bills. It's running a huge deficit. They're giving Lance Armstrong $30 million to put a logo on his jersey so he can ride around France. There's not a lot of big bicycle races in the U.S. Hey, listen, I'm a biker. I've biked all my life. I still ride a bicycle. I've got four different bikes. Got Cannondale racing bikes. I'm a big biker. I believe in biking. I think it's great exercise for you. I followed Lance Armstrong over the years. But listen, if you're out there right now and you watch the Tour de France, which is the big race in France that went on day after day after day, honk your horn. Honk your horn out there right now. It's not much honking going on. I mean, it's not that nobody cares. It's just it's not a major sport. It's a minor sport. I wouldn't support putting the U.S. Postal Service emblem on the helmet of Peyton Manning or one of the other NFL quarterbacks if they put it on there. Pay him to do so with my taxpayer dollars? Absolutely not. And then the Postal Service issues a study saying that the money they spent gave them $100 million in benefits. I don't know how they figured that out. How can they get any benefits at all? How can Lance Armstrong, how can LeBron James, who plays for the Miami Heat, you put the Postal Service on his jersey, that's going to make me run down to the Postal Service and wait a lot longer for my mail to get delivered versus going to UPS or something along that line, or even if it's delivered on time. Putting it on the football player's helmet. Derek Jeter is down in spring training. I'm going down to spring training this week, by the way, and we'll talk about that later on the show. But so Derek Jeter on his sleeve puts a U.S. Postal Service emblem on, who plays the great player for the New York Yankees, probably the most popular player in baseball. That's going to make me run down to the post office and buy more stamps or send more boxes?
$30 million of your money and my money, taxpayers' dollars, paid out to Lance Armstrong so that he will wear on his jersey a little blue emblem that says United States Postal Service. And this is in France. This is not in the U.S. At least he put on the French Postal Service. I can't recall a race. I'm sure he's raced here in the U.S. There's some bicycle races in the U.S., mainly, though, they're overseas. And this guy gets $30 million. They had a contract with the Postal Service from 1996 to 2004. And the Postal Service sponsored this professional cycling team run by Tywin Sports Corporation. And it was Armstrong's operation. He was the lead rider. And he won six consecutive Tour de France titles. Look, Lance Armstrong, the greatest biker there ever was. He did it with performance-enhancing drugs. I disagree with that. I think he should have been banned from cycling. Just like the baseball players should not go in the Hall of Fame with performance-enhancing drugs. And the football players should be kicked out of football. You should play by the rules, and he didn't play by the rules. And maybe there's some contractual disputes where the Postal Service has a claim. I don't know what the contract read. I haven't read the contract. There's probably something in the contract that says that he's got to keep up his proper image. I don't know if they said anything about drugs in the contract, but, you know, in these sports contracts, there's probably some language in there they're looking to. I don't care about the lawsuit. I just am dumbfounded that the U.S. Postal Service gave Lance Armstrong and his team of riders who ride primarily outside this country in major races, and we paid them $30 million, your money and my money. Does it give you, don't you see where the problem is in Washington, D.C. today in the federal government? Where was the oversight? What did these senators, these Republican senators and these Democratic senators, these Republican congressmen and Democratic congressmen, they're supposed to have oversight, and they're looking at the U.S. Postal Service budget. There's a lot of controversy about the Postal Service today. The Postal Service is saying that they are unfairly required to pay way in advance the pension fund requirements of their employees, and if they didn't have to pay those pension fund requirements, they wouldn't be as bad a shape. They're in bad shape. When's the last time you mailed a letter? I'm getting ready to mail some condolence letters out, so I think that's more proper than an email. But if you go back 15 years ago, I probably write 95% less letters today than I did, say, 10 or 15 years ago. I email everything. Even in a requests or business requests, we all email. Email is so dominant because it's so convenient and so quick, and I can understand that. You can, too. Emailing is becoming so much more convenient that it is challenging the Postal Service. Then, of course, you've got all these companies that didn't exist. You've got UPS and all the various private services that will pick up your package. Now, the post office seems to be a little bit more amenable to doing that kind of thing. You can print out your own label. I've got a little, what they call the mail bag here close to where I live and in my home, and they just keep my credit card, and I just drop off the boxes, and they take care of it all, send out the Christmas presents, everything I do. At the post office, I've got to go down there. I see these ads on television now where I can maybe give it to the postman. I've got to maybe put a sign. I don't know how to do that. Maybe you put a sign on your door and say, "Mr. Postman, I got some boxes to give you. Will you ring my doorbell?" And I'm sure I can go online and print out with a credit card the labels, put it on the box. But again, I got to be there when the postman comes by. I'm sure I could work out something. I'm not knocking it. The post office is becoming more competitive. I can see why they're in trouble. I don't, Saturday mail delivery. Should you get your mail on Saturday? I know that I've read some articles that some people, the only human contact they have is with the postal delivery person who comes by to live in rural areas, and the postal, the postman will check on them. If they don't answer the door, you know, they can check on them, and sometimes the postal delivery guy brings them milk and everything. Well, that's wonderful. That's not what it was envisioned to do, however. And I think if there's a financial problem, Saturday delivery ought to go. I don't think we need to have Saturday delivery. You can get by without your junk mail. Someone told me, hey, I hope they do away with Saturday delivery. Because when I say the check's in the mail, I got an extra day to kind of play that off until I have to actually cough up and pay my bills. They don't want Saturday delivery. But the point I'm making is $30 million of your money and my money to Lance Armstrong and his team to put the words U.S. United States Postal Service. I'm looking at his pants. On his pants, it says United States Postal Service. Nothing on the bike. It doesn't say anything on the bike. Just on his pants. I think maybe on his shirt there's a logo, too. Nothing on the hat. Nothing on the helmet. So, for the privilege, you listeners, of getting Lance Armstrong and his teammates to put U.S. Postal Service on his pants and on his shirt, you and I have coughed up $30 million. Unbelievable. Can you imagine the athletes would love to have that logo? Look, for $5, I'll put the logo on my hat. You send me a hat, I'll put the logo on my hat. I'll do it for free. Look, I don't want the Post Service to go broke. I'll do it for free. You give me the hat, I'll wear it into the restaurants I go to, and I'll wear it to all my LSU football games. I'll put away my LSU hat. I'll wear a Postal Service hat for free. Post office, send it to me. That's how I'll take care of it. Hey, Jim Brown, The Common Sense Show. My website, www.jimbrownusa.com. You can read a lot of information about what we're talking about today. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break for the news here at the top of the hour. Then we're going to come back. I've got a lot of email to read you, a lot of email to talk about. So freshen up your coffee, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Jim Brown's Common Sense, right here on the Genesis Communications Radio Network at GCNLive.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNLive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNLive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNLive.com. Again, that's GCNLive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
You've come to expect winter specials from Herbal Healer Academy, and we're not going to let you down. Battle through cold and flu season with powerful, natural, and safe flu fighters. Antivirals like olive leaf extract capsules and elderberry power. Vitamin D3, 180 caps, only $9. Beta-glucans and an incredible immune system booster. Our own 4-herb tea capsules and Respa 8, all specially priced during the winter sale at herbalhealer.com. Also, exclusive homeopathic detoxes for lungs, kidneys, liver, whole body, and lymph are on sale. Herbal Healer Academy offers correspondence courses to teach you how to handle your health naturally. And as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on and save big now when you hit the winter specials at herbalhealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time since 1988. Celebrating 25 years in service to the natural healthcare industry.